In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7.
My name's John. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Thank you for being here with us at LifePoint. One of the things that you will hear from us at LifePoint quite a bit is that we exist to influence people to find and follow Jesus. That's our mission, that's what we're all about, and everything that we do should flow from that. Everything that we talk about should be related to that. That's what we want everybody to hear. And they say about the time that we're tired of saying it is about the time that people start to remember it, so we're just gonna keep on saying it. But we hope that you hear that over and over again. The goal of influencing people to find and follow Jesus is that we would become Christ-like influencers. That's what we want to do. We want to become Christ-like influencers. We want to be influencing people, looking like Jesus in our lives and influencing other people to do the same thing. And so in order to do that, we have to ask the question, how do we look like Jesus? How do we become like Jesus? Well, I think it requires us knowing him, not just knowing stuff about him, not just knowing facts about Jesus, but really knowing who he is. And it requires us knowing his word. Man, when God speaks to us in his word, he gives us truth. And if we're going to be like him, we have to look to his word and know what he says. We have to remember the gospel. And that gospel word, that word gospel just means good news. That's the subtitle of our series that we're in right now, 2 Timothy, Remember the Gospel. And the reason we say that is because all throughout the book of 2 Timothy, that's what Paul is telling Timothy. He's saying, hey, I want you to remember the gospel. I want you to remember this truth because this is what matters. This is what is really important, and this is what's worth remembering. This is what's going to make us like Jesus and help us understand that. And so I started thinking about what I remember and what fills my head. And man, I have a lot of wasted space. I could recite a lot of song lyrics to you right now if I wanted to. I could quote a bunch of movies. Man, I've got movie quotes up there. But am I remembering the gospel? That's why part of what we're doing through the 2 Timothy series is we're challenging us as a congregation, we're challenging everybody to remember God's word. And so every 2 weeks, we have a new verse that we're memorizing together, and we want to remember that stuff and get beyond the silly stuff that doesn't just matter and actually fill our heads and our minds with things that are eternal and things that really will last and will matter. And so I want us to take a look at our memory verse. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Hopefully you remember it. Hopefully you've memorized it. But let's all say it together, okay? It's right up here on the screen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man, that is an important part for us to remember today. Because as we remember the gospel, we remember that we don't have a spirit of fear. We remember that we have this power and love and sound mind that God gives by his Holy Spirit. So we remember these truths and then we can apply that to our lives. So we say, all right, well, I remember this. Well, why don't I see that? Well, I think sometimes we tend to forget. We tend to let the circumstances of life distract us, right? We hit hard times, and in the midst of those hard times, we start to focus on fear. We focus on shame. We focus on our suffering or the hard things we're going through, and that becomes our focus. What Paul is saying, Paul's writing 2 Timothy while he's in prison. And he's at the point where he's pretty sure he's about to die. And so he's saying, I'm suffering right now. I'm going through these hard times. Timothy, remember, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind. Remember these truths. Because I think what Paul is asking, he's asking this question. He's saying, what if God has something different for us? What if God intends for us to live unashamed? And to embrace suffering that we face. What if he wants us to cultivate an eternal perspective? See, I think Jesus wants us to see from an eternal perspective, and that's gonna help us see every circumstance that we go through. And that's what I think we're gonna see as we look at 2 Timothy today. So we're gonna read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 18. And if you have a Bible, I want you to follow along. We're gonna put it up here on the screens too. But if you don't have a Bible, man, we wanna give you one. Because we believe this is worth knowing. It's worth remembering. This is God's word. It's so good. So please, please get it. We have them for free at the welcome desk. You can just run by and steal one and leave. I mean, you don't have to talk to anybody. We want you to have a Bible and then take it home, open it and read it. Because man, this will change your life. There's nothing like God's word, no substitute for it. So let's read this together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 18. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you've heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You're aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Now, because this is God's word, and because it is so powerful and important, I want to pray for our time together. Father God, thank you for your word. I pray that in this time that you would speak to us, that you would give us wisdom from your Holy Spirit. You help us to hear from you clearly. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds and prepare us to hear what you have to say to us. We love you, Lord, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what we're going to do is let's walk through each verse of this passage that we just read. And as we read through it, I want us to see some themes. There's some themes that are going to come out. The first theme we're going to see is this idea of shame. We're going to see the concept of shame coming up over and over again. We're going to see the concept of suffering, how there's suffering and difficulty and hardship. But throughout all of that, there's an eternal perspective that Paul is teaching to Timothy. He's discipling him. He's saying, hey, if you want to follow after me, if you want to follow after Jesus, you got to get this eternal perspective piece. So we're going to see those things come out. So let's dive in and look at chapter 1, verse 8. It says, therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. And so right there, we have to pause, because every time we're studying the Bible, if we see the word therefore, we have to ask, what is it there for, right? I know that's a cheesy joke, but it remembered. Yeah. So we have to ask, why is it there? And so the reason it's there has to go back to the verse that we memorized this week, right? For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And therefore, because he's given us this power and love and sound mind, taken away fear, therefore, don't be ashamed. Why does he say that? Well, it's because shame is often tied to fear, right? He says, you don't have the spirit of fear, so don't be ashamed. You have power and love and a sound mind that's given to you by the Holy Spirit of God who dwells inside of you. That's what we want you to remember, Timothy. That's what you need to know. So Paul's writing that. He says, don't be ashamed of me, because here I am in prison for the gospel. Now, Paul was kind of like that jailbird family member, you know? Like, he's the guy that's kind of hard to be proud of. It's like, Paul's got arrested again? Like, what is he doing? He's in jail again. Paul, come on, can you stay out of prison for a week? Like, what's going on? Like, Paul, he's always writing letters from prison. He's saying, yeah, I'm in prison again. Like, Paul does this. And this is the way that he lives, right? Is he's in prison. But why is he in prison? Look what he says. He says, join with me in suffering for the gospel. Like, I got arrested for this gospel message of Jesus Christ. I'm in prison because of this good news. When we say the word gospel, we just mean good news. Like, good news about Jesus that is something that flies in the face of our own self-lordship. And that's something a lot of people have a hard time hearing. And it gets Paul landed in prison on multiple occasions. But here he's writing to Timothy and he's like, I think this might be the last time I actually get to write, because I'm probably going to die. And he says, join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul is saying, don't be ashamed, because there's something bigger going on here. And I started to think about the things that we're ashamed of. And then I thought about the things we're proud of. And there is a really obvious difference, right, in the way that we respond. If we're proud of something, we show it off, don't we? Like, you ever see a kid who gets the new toy for Christmas and they're like, look, do you see what I get? And every conversation somehow gets turned to talking about this new toy that they got. And they're like, look, check it out. Did you see that? Did you know it could do this? And it goes fast and it goes. Some adults are like this with different toys. And we talk about these things and it comes out of us because it's what we care about. We value it and we hold it highly, and it's something that we speak about over and over and over again. I remember when I was in 10th grade, I got to go to homecoming with the girl. You know what I mean? And it was awesome. And I went to the dance and I was like, yeah, this is great. But about 2 weeks after the dance, the pictures came. And I got my homecoming pictures back. And I can't tell you how many people I showed these pictures to. I was like, yeah, that's right. She's with me. I don't know why either, but she's with me. And like, she's just beautiful. And look at this. Look at, you see? And I was showing it off. And she did the thing in the picture that a lot of girls do. I don't know why, but it's like they turn sideways and that one knee goes up. I don't know why, but she did that. I was like, man, that's awesome. I don't know what it is, but that was great, right? And I loved this picture. And so I'm so proud of it. And I couldn't think of any other dance that I had done that with the pictures of, you know. But I did this with her picture, and I was like, do I do that same kind of thing with the gospel? Like, am I that proud? Do I show it off? Do I say, like, look at what Jesus has done in my life. Dude, you got to see this. Look, I was here, and then he twisted me and changed me. Like, God did all this in my life. But I think a lot of times, if I'm being honest, I'm kind of ashamed sometimes. And I say, yeah, oh, you're interested in seeing a picture? I'll see if I can find one. You know, like, here's kind of what God's been doing. Like, it's not the kind of thing that I'm unashamed of. So I need to hear this. I need to hear, don't be ashamed. Don't live in that fear. But let's unashamedly speak this good news of the gospel. Paul keeps going in verse 9, and he says this. He says, he's suffering. He says, Timothy, I want you to join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Well, who's this God? Remember, he's given us eternal perspective all throughout this. He says, this is the God who saved us and who called us with a holy calling, right? This is that God, the God who didn't save us according to our works. It's not like we were good enough to get in right with him. It's like, no, it was according to his own purpose. Do you stop and think about that for a minute? It's like God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for your life, which should blow our minds. The God who created the whole universe has a purpose for you. And it's not just any old purpose, but it's a purpose that was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity by his grace. Like from before the foundation of the world, God knew what he was going to do, and he created you and he made you with a purpose. And he says, now he's got a purpose for me and my life has meaning and direction. And we say, well, that's all fine and good. There's this concept of eternity. He starts to point to this eternity from which this was created. But then in verse 10, he says, yeah, eternity, but now it's appeared. Now this purpose has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. And not only did he appear in the flesh, but he appeared and he died for us so that we could have relationship with God, which is what we're made for, and it's the only thing that satisfies us. And if we don't have that, then we're missing what we're made for. But then when Jesus died, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And that resurrected Christ has appeared to many people. And it says here, the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, he abolished death. He got rid of it. So where's fear now? Right? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Don't be ashamed. He's abolished death. Well, how do I live now? Well, he's brought to life and immortality, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Right? God has spoken this good news to you. And I hope you hear this today, is that he offers life and immortality, eternity. I mean, talk about an eternal perspective. This is what God gives us. And it's all through the gospel. It's through the good news about who Jesus is. That's what he wants us to hear. And Paul says, because I want people to hear it, in verse 11, he says, I was appointed, I was called as a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of these things. God called me to proclaim it, to herald it, to preach it. He also called me to be instrumental in founding the church that would be his plan of how this gets spread throughout the world. And he called me to be a teacher of it, which means like a master practitioner. Like, I'm showing you how to do that right now, Timothy. Paul's saying, Timothy, look, Jesus suffered. I'm suffering right now. Join with me in suffering. If you want to be like Jesus, we have to follow his example. We have to do that. We cannot be ashamed because Jesus wasn't ashamed. And that's what we're following here. In the light of the gospel, when we consider all these things, in the light of the gospel, there is no room for shame. And I like how the word shame didn't even fit on the top line of that slide. And so there's no room for it on that line. But there's no room for, I know that was a cheesy joke too. But there's no room for shame in the light of the gospel of Jesus. There's no room for it. If we really understand the gospel and what Jesus did and who he is, then man, there's no place for shame. There's no room for it. So what does Paul then say? Look at verse 12. He says, for this reason, because there's no shame in the gospel, because there is this calling that God's placed on our lives and we're suffering for the gospel, we don't have to be ashamed. Because of that, he says, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. He says, I suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. He's saying, just like I'm telling you, that's exactly what I'm experiencing right now. Why? For I know whom I have believed. And I think the word whom is very key right there, because he doesn't say, I know what list of facts I believe. He doesn't say, I know what doctrinal things that I'm going to believe. He says, that's not what he's saying. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm confident in him. I'm convinced that he is able. Y'all, do you hear that? He is able, y'all. That's big stuff, right? He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. When we say that he is able, that means that whatever we face, he's able beyond that. Whatever difficulties we're going to encounter, Paul's writing this in prison, knowing he's about to die, and he's sitting here saying, Timothy, he's able. He's able to do what? To guard what I've entrusted to him. Well, what has Paul entrusted him? I've entrusted my salvation and my life and my gospel ministry. All this, God, it's all yours. And cultivating that eternal perspective throughout it all, look what he says. He says, I've entrusted it to him until that day. Now, it was said that Martin Luther was quoted as saying, I have two dates on my calendar, this day and that day. And what he means by that is he says, this day is today where we are right now, but that day is the day that Jesus comes back, right? That's the day that we're longing for. That's where hope is, because our hope is beyond this world. It's beyond what we see, and that's what he's starting to paint the picture of. He's like, Timothy, remember that day? It's coming. It's coming. So he's painting this picture for Timothy, and then he says in verse 13, he says, I want you to retain the standard of sound words that you've heard from me, right? Retain it, remember it. That word retain is where we get the word echo, and I kind of like that idea. It's like, I want this to reverberate in your head. I want this to bounce around in there. I want you to remember this. Retain this standard. And that standard is that same idea of pattern or example. Like, I want you to follow my example. Remember this and what I've said to you, because it's true. These sound words, which you've heard from me. But don't just remember it and have all these words in your head, but then live them in the faith and the love that's in Christ Jesus. Because a lot of times it's not just what you say, but it's how you say it, right? We tell that to our kids all the time. It's like, that apology didn't mean much, buddy. But, you know, like, when you don't mean it, how are you saying it? How are we presenting the gospel? We're all called to do this. How are we doing? He says, do it in faith and love in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 14, and I get excited about this one, he says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Guys, the Holy Spirit dwells in us if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. That means the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that made him appear, our Savior Christ Jesus, who's now appeared and brought all those promises to now, that same Spirit dwells in you. That's the Spirit that empowers you, and that's the Spirit that gives us hope to follow the example of Jesus Christ. I like how Peter says it. He says it like this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. He says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. Peter's saying, Jesus suffered. Paul's saying, Timothy, I'm suffering. Join with me. And that seems bizarre. You don't want to suffer. He's not saying prison is great. He's not saying, you know, come on, I'm about to die, yippee. He's saying, no, I'm in this really tough time, but man, join me with suffering, because when you suffer for the gospel, you understand the hope in a way that you can't understand without it. There's a hope that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. There is the coming Christ on that day. There is the living word that he gives us to retain and to hang on to. And there's the present Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. These are all sources of hope. And you see, in the light of the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, then we have to be hopeful in the midst of whatever suffering we face. We have to have hope. It's the only way we can have hope. In the light of the power of the Holy Spirit, there is hope in the midst of suffering. So then Paul goes on and he ends this passage with some shout outs to some people. And a couple of them are kind of negative, right? He starts off in verse 15. He says, you're aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And I know that looks like Phygellus and Hermogenes, but that's just kind of the way, yeah, I try to do it in Greek, but whatever. Those guys, he's saying, they abandoned me. Now, what happened to Jesus at the end of his life? Right? He was abandoned. He was deserted. And here Paul saying, yeah, I want to share in the sufferings of Christ. I want you to join with me in suffering for this. And this is part of it, right? All turned away. All left me. They're all ashamed of me. They're all walking away. But there's this one guy in verse 16. Look at what he says. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. I think we have an opportunity to be like Onesiphorus. It says he wasn't ashamed of Paul, but look what he did in verse 17. It says, when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. He didn't just like wander around and say, oh, maybe I'll bump into Paul while I'm here. He said, no, I'm going there to find Paul for this purpose because he's imprisoned and suffering for the gospel, and that's what I'm all about. And he goes to encourage him. And then look what he says in verse 18. He says, the Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord when? On that day. Paul's given this eternal perspective, right? He's saying like, man, this stinks right now. But I want him to have mercy from the Lord on that day because he's got the perspective right. He's got it. And he says, and you know, Timothy, very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Timothy was a pastor at Ephesus. And so Paul's saying, hey, you know this guy. You know what kind of guy he is. He's a good guy. But what I love about Onesiphorus is he's not like one of the famous people from the Bible. Right? He's only mentioned twice in all of Scripture, and they're both in this letter to 2 Timothy. And in that, he's not like a Peter or a James or a John. He didn't say, Peter, James, and John came and visited me. He's like, no, it was Onesiphorus. It was this guy, right, that nobody's really sure who he is. He's just a normal guy obeying Jesus, being faithful because he has this eternal perspective. And I started thinking about the way that suffering can connect us. Right, and the way that Paul's suffering connects him with the body of Christ, the people around him like that. And I started thinking back to when I was in Louisiana. I grew up in Louisiana, and when Hurricane Katrina hit, we came back, and after we evacuated, and everything was very different. And there was this weird sense of camaraderie among people who were there and who had lost things. And there were things shared in common. And somebody said, man, I need these trees chainsawed out of my driveway. And they'd be like, okay, I'm coming to help. I was like, man, we don't have any food left and all the stores are closed. And he says, well, I've got this freezer full of meat and it's going to go bad because we lost power. So let's have a giant barbecue. Like, that's the kind of stuff that happened all over. Because there's something about suffering that connects us. Something about suffering that goes across barriers and allows us to look past the walls that we would normally put up. And I think Paul is identifying with that. And I think that really fits with the life of Jesus, right? He came to tear down these barriers and say, anyone who would put faith in him, that's Jesus' point. That's Paul's point. Is he saying, this guy, Onesiphorus, he gets it. He understands that suffering can connect us and it doesn't have to be this scary thing. So what I want us to hear today is that God's eternal perspective, when we get that, it allows us to erase shame and embrace suffering. When we can see that there is a coming Christ on that day and there's a living word that's right here with us now and there's this Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, man, we can embrace the suffering we face. And we can erase the shame. There's no room for it because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us power and love and a sound mind. That's what God wants us to walk in. So how are you doing with that? How are you doing with that right now? How are you with living unashamed for the gospel? How are you with having an eternal perspective when you face suffering? How are you with encouraging those people who are suffering and going through difficulty? This is what God calls us to. I love the way that the author of Hebrews puts this whole perspective thing, and this is where I want us to land, as he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He had this perspective beyond his circumstances. The joy set before him, he endured the cross. And what did he do after that suffering? He despised the shame. So he's got an eternal perspective. He's enduring suffering and he's despising the shame. And now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the hope that we have. Cultivate that perspective in all things. And know that when God says that to us, it's bigger than everything. This is bigger than just us. It's Jesus and it's his spirit and it's his church. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's only by the power of your spirit and it's only by the word of God that we can get an eternal perspective. So God, help us to do that. Help us to dig into your word, to remember the gospel, to remember that truth that sets us free, to remember the words that you speak to us so that we see from your point of view everything we go through, God. Your word helps us cultivate your perspective. Help us to do that regularly by engaging with your word. We love you, Lord, and we trust you. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.